At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The following episode has several twists and turns. I ask that you hold on tight and not look into the case as I read it. You'll have a better time if you do so. A lot of thought is put into Obscura in terms of keeping coverage objective. With that said, the opening part of this episode is sourced directly from the Innocence Project of Florida, as well as court records, with several sections read verbatim. All right, let's get on with it.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Beach, Florida, on November 10, 2003, a man with a revolver forced his way into a Walgreens store in the early morning hours. After threatening one employee with the revolver, the suspect left the store with $1,700. Ashraf Risk and Kathy Van Huysen, the only two employees present during the robbery, told police their recollection of events. Risk saw the perpetrator in the parking lot when he arrived at work and asked if he needed anything. The perpetrator told Risk he was waiting to make sure his child got on the bus. When Risk opened the doors to let his colleague in the store, the perpetrator then proceeded to fight with Risk and eventually pulled out the revolver, causing Risk to back off. Once inside, the perpetrator was able to get the money from the store safe. According to Risk, he opened the doors for Kathy at 7:15 a.m., and the perpetrator fled the scene at approximately 7:24 a.m. Deputy Bell was assigned to monitor the school zone in front of Dania Elementary School. Approximately between 7 to 8 a.m., she sees a black male walk in front of her patrol car. She sees him walking with a boy that she is familiar with. The boy typically walks this route to school with his sister daily. However, on this date, the boy was without his sister and was walking with the black male. The black male was wearing blue jean shorts, a blue jean jacket, and a red baseball cap. At approximately 7:24 a.m., a dispatch regarding a robbery went out. Deputy Bell arrived at the scene of the robbery. The description is a black male wearing blue jeans and a jacket. Deputy Bell does not mention seeing the man match the bolo walk past her that day. It isn't until a few days later that she puts two and two together that she saw the suspect walk by. A few days after the crime occurred, Deputy Bell stated that she and her boss, Lieutenant Barbara Stewart, worked to find the suspect looking through records until they found the right person. It was then, a few days later, that Bell said it was a man named Leonard Cure, whom she had met before. She then contacted Detective Jeff Malise and told him the name and that she could help ID him. Detectives were immediately drawn to Leonard Cure. For one thing, he had a criminal history, with a rap sheet featuring robbery, cocaine possession, and grand theft auto. 2 days after the incident, both victims, who are also the primary witnesses, met with detectives to complete a composite sketch based on their recollection of the person. Unfortunately, the observations of the two witnesses did not match. Kathy describes a black male, 5'8", stocky, and missing teeth on the left side of his mouth. Risk himself had no recollection of the perpetrator missing any teeth. A week later, detectives had constructed a lineup and asked both individuals to identify the suspect independently. Out of the six men presented to her in a lineup, Van Huysen chose number 3, Leonard Cure. Risk, on the other hand, was between Cure and another suspect, but concluded number 3, Leonard Cure, was not the same complexion as the perpetrator. Although Risk later testified he did not choose out of the lineup, Detective Jeff Malise testified that Risk had circled and signed the photo of Cure. Not mentioned in this stage of investigation is that more than one of the six photos in the lineup was of Leonard Cure. Additionally, the suspects from the lineup were gathered in a highly unethical way. Through combing a law enforcement database of people who had previous interactions with law enforcement, the day after the identifications were made by the witnesses, November 20th, 2003, police arrested Leonard Cure for robbery with a firearm and assault with a firearm. Police also collected black shorts and a black jacket as evidence when making the arrest. In May of 2004, Judge Paul Backman of the 17th Judicial Court approved the motion to suppress the clothing evidence authorities obtained because it was not collected with a search warrant. However, the judge ruled the identification by Risk and Van Huysen were reliable, despite the lineups being unnecessarily suggestive. In his investigation, Detective Malise opted to speak to a young boy who was observed by Detective Connie Bell in front of a nearby elementary school, south of the Walgreens. Bell saw the boy walking to school that day with a guy who was wearing blue jean shorts, a blue jean jacket, and a red baseball cap. This was the same clothing as the perpetrator described by Risk, but did not match the clothing collected by law enforcement during the arrest of Leonard. Detective Malise additionally showed the young boy the lineup and claimed he had selected Mr. Cure. The boy was not called as a witness. Malise later made clear he had no report of the boy's identification to support his allegation. Leonard Cure went to trial in August of 2004 without any physical or forensic evidence attaching him to the crime. The victim testimonies, with conflicting identifications, were the only evidence used against him. Although Detective Bell testified, she did not make any mentions of the guy she saw earlier that day by the school until days after the robbery. To identify a person from the vague description, she and her lieutenant searched through a track repeat arrestees program, a computer program containing information of people nearby who had been arrested or were on prisoner release. On the basis of a claim made by the witness, Van Huysen, which described the robber's physical appearance as neat, Lieutenant Stewart chose Leonard Cure's file in the database because he seemed to be one picture in the database that suggested he maintained a well-kept appearance. Detective Bell testified when the photograph chosen by Lieutenant Stewart was shown to her, she concluded that Leonard was the man she saw walking by her patrol car in front of the elementary school. Although she didn't connect Cure to the crime until she was shown the photo, she also testified another connection with Cure. A few months earlier, when she was reviewing new criminal registrants and prison releases, she had been assigned to Cure and had met him previously at his residence. As previously noted, Katie Van Huysen indicated a missing tooth on the left side of the suspect's face when describing him. Leonard Cure had both a missing side and front tooth. However, his girlfriend testified Cure wore a bridge and never left home without it. She never knew his teeth were missing until after they started dating. Cure also had an alibi for the time the crime occurred. Throughout investigations and trial, he maintained that he left home the morning of the robbery around 6 a.m. with his girlfriend and her three children. After she dropped the children off at school and daycare, she then dropped Leonard off at a bus stop. After exiting the first bus and before catching the second bus on the route he took to work, Leonard stopped by an ATM. The ATM is 3 miles south of the Walgreens. Cure took out $20. The withdrawal was made at 6:52 a.m. This placed him far from the crime at the same time it occurred. No video from the ATM was recovered by Cure's first attorney, and by the time the attorney was replaced with Cure's final attorney, over 90 days had passed, which is the standard retention time for those type of video records. Cure's manager from his job testified that he had become a permanent worker with the company because he was always on time and never gave any slack. Specifically, on the day in question, Marty Weiss noted he entered the site at 8 a.m. and Cure was already there. A co-worker at Presidential Towers where Cure worked additionally testified he always came to work around 7 a.m. each day. Additionally, Cure was paid in full for the entire day of the incident. However, the timesheet was handwritten. Cure's work attire was also described as construction boots and clothing suitable for construction work, not jean pants and a baseball cap. For Cure to have visited the ATM, robbed the Walgreens, changed clothes, and made it to work on time, he would have had to drive his girlfriend's car. This was the only considerable theory given by the prosecution, but an implausible one that contradicted both evidence and testimony. Despite the witness's testimony, the perpetrator was walking, the prosecution maintained this theory. On August 17, 2004, the jury could not reach a unanimous decision, causing a mistrial. The prosecution proceeded to offer Leonard a plea agreement that in exchange for a guilty plea, he would spend 7 years in prison. Leonard refused on the basis of his innocence. But then the second trial began a few weeks later. Only this time, Risk was a witness for the defense. Risk testified he was not sure if Cure was the robber. Despite this, the jury reached a guilty verdict quickly, and Leonard Cure was sentenced to life in prison for armed robbery with a firearm and assault with a firearm. Leonard Cure appealed his case in 2006, and the Florida District Court of Appeals upheld his conviction. In 2015, and the year after, he filed for post-conviction relief, and both petitions were denied. Fast forward, 4 years later, in December 2019, Cure wrote to the newly created Conviction Review Unit of the 17th Judicial Court Circuit to request they reinvestigate his case. After an initial review, the director of the CRU reached out to the Innocence Project of Florida. The following February, IPF's Krista Dola became counsel for Mr. Cure. On April 14, 2020, the CRU agreed to modify Cure's sentence to 16 years to allow him to be released based on time served. While the reinvestigation of his case continued, the investigation concluded Cure was not identified through the TRAP program, as Lieutenant Stewart testified at trial. While there may have been some other database through which Stewart was identified, the CRU investigation suggested an inquiry by the defense before the trial could have led to questions about a lawful identification and subsequent lineups. After the CRU concluded and suggested exoneration, Judge John Murphy vacated Cure's convictions on December 11, 2020, and 3 days later, all charges against him were dropped. Leonard Cure became the first person exonerated by Broward County's Conviction Review Unit and was awarded $817,000. Now, that brings us to Monday, October 16th, 2023. 16 years later, at around 7:30 a.m. in Camden County, Georgia, Leonard Cure was clocked speeding on Interstate 95 by Staff Sergeant Buck Aldridge. Deputy Aldridge has a bit of a history. In fact, he's not well known for his temper. A year prior, he pulled a fleeing suspect from his vehicle, straddled his back, and began raining unanswered blows to the incapacitated suspect. Deputy Aldridge was never disciplined for this, but he was reprimanded for two more instances of excessive force. And before that, Aldridge was fired from a police department in 2017 for throwing a handcuffed woman face first to the ground. Aldridge found new employment in another department in the same county. These chain of events led to the fated meeting of two people who couldn't be more different. The chemistry between Cure and Aldridge will prove to be like oil and water. With Cure having served 16 years for a crime he did not commit, and Aldridge known as a deputy with a propensity for aggression and violence. The following footage is taken directly from Deputy Aldridge's body cam that was later released to the public. We start in the deputy's vehicle as he exits and immediately escalates the situation. He screams before Cure even has a chance to respond, and from a distance that Cure couldn't have responded to immediately.
10-4, change the item to the T-Tango.
Step out! Step out!
Cure gets out as instructed, and Deputy Aldridge immediately pulls his taser. The aggression in which Aldridge is approaching this traffic stop has led to an anti-authoritarian response from Cure.
Get out! Get out! Put your hands back here.
I ain't doing shit.
Put your damn hands back here.
Dude. Who are you?
Staff Sergeant Aldridge, Sheriff's Office.
My name is Yahweh.
I don't care. Step to the rear of this vehicle.
In the name of who?
In the name of the law of the state of Georgia. Step back here. Now you're getting tased.
I'm going.
The next clip, Deputy Aldridge jams his taser into the back of Cure, threatens to tase him, calls for backup, all while continuing his aggression and escalating the situation.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Watch me now. Put your hands on the back of that truck.
Do you see that?
Put your hands on the back of that truck.
Back of the truck.
Both hands. Turn around.
34, can you send me another unit? The 19 compliant.
Go out of unit,
route
34, the 8 open.
Your name is Officer who?
Staff Sergeant Aldridge with the Camden County Sheriff's Office.
Who County?
Camden County. Put your hand behind your back.
Do I have a warrant?
No. Excuse me.
Put your hands behind your back because you're getting tased.
Why?
I'm telling you that now.
Why am I getting tased?
Because you are under arrest for speeding and reckless driving.
I'm not driving. Nobody was hurt. How was I speeding?
You passed me doing 100 miles an hour.
Okay, so that's a speeding ticket, right?
Sir, tickets in the state of Georgia are criminal offenses.
I don't have a ticket in Georgia.
You do now?
Why?
Things go from bad to worse. Deputy Aldridge tases Cure without Cure having escalating things himself. Upon being tased, Cure begins to fight back. This will ultimately be Cure's undoing.
You passed me doing 100 miles an hour.
And what? Am I going
to jail? Hands behind your back. Yes, you're going to jail. Hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
The next bit of audio will get graphic, so listener discretion is advised. Cure begins choking Deputy Aldridge and starts saying, "Yeah, bitch." Aldridge attempts to fight off Cure with his baton, but this doesn't work. Aldridge eventually pulls his sidearm and shoots Cure, fatally injuring the man.
Yeah, bitch.
Stay down!
Too late.
Camden, shots fired!
Too late.
Shots fired, Camden! Stay down! Do not give up! Stay down!
Following audio, Cure writhes on the ground in pain, while Deputy Aldridge repeatedly shouts for him to stay down while calling for backup. It's clear that Cure is dying, and that he doesn't have much time left. Aldridge spends much of his time leaned on the hood of his patrol car, attempting to catch his breath.
Stay down! Damn the shot, sir! Suspect down! Can you send me help? Stay down! Damn it, are you clear? Stay down! Do not get up!
You all right? You got a backup coming?
Yeah.
Once backup arrives, Aldridge cuffs the dying man. Cure's eyes are rolling into the back of his head. With EMTs arriving and his backup near, Aldridge shows sympathy to the shot man for the first time in this entire encounter. He grabs his first aid kit and tells the man that he isn't going anywhere and to stay with him. While attempting to administer life-saving procedures, Deputy Aldridge realizes he lost his glasses in the encounter. His backup has to take over.
Covering. Got him. Glasses off of you. Can't see. Fight me. Can't find my glasses.
Where were you at?
We're back here somewhere.
When covering complex subjects like this, I like to include the reaction of the deputy after what transpired. The following audio is Deputy Aldridge's immediate reaction after getting the news Leonard Cure has died.
Good. Good.
What a fucker.
Hey, head up, buddy.
Hey, head up. Head up. I'd rather be you sitting here. You're good.
Head up.
Relax, buck.
What the fuck?
Hey. I'd rather be for you sitting here. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you're good, man. You're good.
Get him checked out. We'll get him out of here.
Yep. Yep. How many small people got up there?
They just got here.
Okay.
They don't check them around.
Yep.
Anyway, after that, get him in a car.
Yep, I get him up there.
Y'all were still switched out?
Yep. You're good, man. You're good.
Yep.
Yeah. You're good. Get your head up, buddy. Head up. Head up. Head up.
I didn't know which weather was who it was. switching out with your questions. Tonight,
the family of a man killed by a deputy in South Georgia is filing a $16 million federal lawsuit.
So the traffic stop that ended Leonard Cured's life happened just 3 years after he was exonerated for a crime he did not commit and was wrongfully incarcerated for 16 years because of that. Well, Cure's family is now suing the deputy involved in the shooting, the Camden County Sheriff, alleging systemic problems with brutality within his department.
This should never have happened because Buck Aldridge has a history of violence, a propensity of violence and unlawful use of force while in uniform.
Dash cam video from the traffic stop back in October shows Staff Sergeant Buck Aldridge pulling Cure over for speeding. The video shows Aldridge giving Cure several commands and then tasing him. There's a struggle, as you can see right there. At one point, Cure appears to have his hand on Aldridge's neck before Aldridge shoots him. Aldridge is assigned to administrative duties while prosecutors decide what they're going to do with this case. His attorney says it was clear he was defending himself, but shortly after this, his job history came into question. He was disciplined twice for unnecessary force when he worked for the Kingsland Police Department, and he was fired after a third incident in 2017.
I want to know definitely somehow that this guy who killed my son is not working. He shouldn't be working anywhere. He should not.
So a spokesperson for Camden County, the sheriff there, Jim Proctor, says that the sheriff's office does not comment on any pending litigation.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.